Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loftin. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Pressured. Mario Williams has him around the waist. Then he drops him. He sacks him.
Yeah! Let's go, Buffalo!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Ball into the end zone. It is intercepted. It is picked off. Aaron Williams made a leaping interception in the end zone.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Tonight, just a one-hour show because of the NCAA basketball championship, but we'll talk with Mike Williams, the Riverside High School product, Syracuse grad who went on to the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and is now back in Buffalo with the Buffalo Bills in the trade that was executed last Friday. Mike Williams joins us at the bottom of the hour.
This place is pandemonium!
Finds a crease up the middle, dodges a man at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Fred Jackson!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Monday night edition of the John Murphy Show. Good evening, welcome. Welcome to the start of a new week here at One Bills Drive. We have turned the page. A new week. We are 1 week closer to the NFL draft, by the way. What are we talking about? 5 weeks from Thursday, first round of the NFL draft, May 8th. We'll talk about that a little bit later on this week. Tonight, we're going to talk about a new addition to the Bills roster, Mike Williams. And we want to hear from you on this as well. Mike Williams acquired in that trade last Friday, reportedly for a six-round draft pick and a very manageable cap hit, very manageable salary for the Buffalo Bills. And we want to put the question out there. We didn't have a chance to do it when the trade was made last Friday because we had a podcast last Friday. The question would be, how do you like the deal? Is it worth it? Mike Williams' list of off-field transgressions is lengthy. It is not good, and that factors into it. And what do you think? It's a risk, I would think, but I believe a calculated risk by the Buffalo Bills. Give us your thoughts, what you think of the Mike Williams deal. Phone lines are open, 803-0550. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. Some of you have already weighed in that way. What do you think of the deal? How much have the Bills given up, and what's the upside here? What do they lose? There's a a column in the paper today about Mike Williams' transgressions. They're out there. He mentioned at a news conference today that that all the charges may not be true, but they're out there. We've followed it. We've seen the list of what went wrong for Mike Williams. I told the story a minute ago to Chopin the Bulldog, and I'll tell it again. The day he was drafted, so it was April 2010, 4 years ago, went to his house on the east side of Buffalo with the Channel 4 photographers, working at Channel 4 at the time, and did an interview with him and saw Mike Williams in his element. And, a rough neighborhood, but Mike Williams seemed pretty good and seemed like he had some good support among friends and family over there. He's going to need that as he comes back home to Buffalo. He's going to need to settle down to walk the straight and narrow and to produce like he did for much of his career in the first 4 years at Tampa Bay. The numbers are pretty good for Mike Williams, if you look at his production when he was healthy and on the field. The numbers are very good when it comes to red zone production. Mike Williams is the prototype of the type of receiver the Bills are looking for. Big, rangy, catches stuff in the red zone, very physical to go up against the bigger corners in the league. And what did they give up? They gave up a six-round pick, reportedly, and they're not on the hook for a whole lot of money. So what's the downside? If Mike Williams has not calmed down and found a way to avoid trouble, then the Bills will probably release him eventually, whether it's during the season, after the season. At some point, you would think if he has trouble, they're not going to stand for it. They'll release him. And what are they out? They're out a six-round draft pick. I think it's a very good calculated risk by the Bills. I think, all eyes will be on Mike Williams. He knows that. He should have support from friends and family here in Western New York moving forward. He's a little bit older. He talked today about his one-year-old son who, he's looking forward to being around his one-year-old son here in Buffalo. I think it's a good move for the Bills. In fact, at his press conference today, you'll hear from Mike Williams at the bottom of the hour, but at his press conference today, he said he feels like he has something to prove both to the fans here in Buffalo and the people all over the NFL.
I always had a chip on my shoulder ever since college, coming out of college, and I always had 11 receivers taking over me. I always had to say I'm going to beat all of them out every year, every team that took over me. So actually the Bills was behind the Bucks in that pick, so they didn't take nobody over me. So I did, but But anyways, it's just that's how I play. I got a chip on my shoulder. I'm gonna go out and prove that they made a mistake and that this is a great decision for the Buffalo Bills.
He plays. He says he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder. He comes in with a kind of a checkered past in terms of getting into some off-field problems in Tampa Bay. All of that now moving forward. What do you think of this deal? Is it a risky move by the Bills? Are they bringing in trouble, or do you think it's a calculated risk? I think it's the latter. I think it's a risk that you need to take when you're looking for talent. I think it's a player that will fit into this roster in terms of skill set, kind of what they were looking for when they talked about who they want to draft. I like the move. You may feel differently, and now's your chance. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 the number. Toll free outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. What do you think of the Mike Williams deal? Is it too risky to bring in a player with his background back home to Buffalo? Let us know what you think. We'll start with Frank in Amherst. Hi, Frank. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, John. You know, I love the deal because I feel like you said, we practically gave him nothing in order to get him, and we're on the hook for only $1.8 million. And the other good thing about this deal is that it fills a need, and now we could unleash Buddy Nix on the draft, and we could pick the best possible athlete. And I think, you know, with his 50 years of football history, that we're going to get some good picks. And, you know, I like his picks when it's actually a little bit lower. So I'm even willing to trade the number 9 pick and maybe get an additional pick and pick up somebody like Benjamin.
Calvin Benjamin, Florida State.
Yeah, he had 15 touchdowns, and I think, you know, that's what we need. He's 6'5", 240. I mean, he's not, you know, it's not like he's 6'4", and 220. He's 6'5", and 240.
Yeah, he's big. All right, thanks, Frank. Interesting because I think Mike Williams almost fits the bill of the big receiver that the Bills were looking for, which is not to say they won't choose one in the draft, but, you know, are you doubling up at that position with that type of receiver? Mike Williams, well, we talked to him earlier today. He's listed as 6'1". He's bigger than that. He said he's 6'2". I think he plays bigger than that. I made this point on the podcast last Friday. He just seems to play bigger than that. And where do you hear him talk about going up and fighting for the football and going up against the big corners and making sure he comes down with the ball? He's got a pretty good approach on that. You'll hear it when we go one-on-one with him at the bottom of the hour. I think he plays bigger than what his actual size is. Mike in Gettysville, you're on the air. Hi, Mike. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. It's clearly a calculated risk, and I really have no problem with the Bills trying it. If he pans out, it's a great shot for a six-round draft choice. The only thing I resent is I just don't want to hear the Buffalo Bills talking about the fact that their roster is going to be composed of players of high moral standards and take the high road, because obviously they're lessening the standards.
Well, let me ask you, Mike, when's the last time you heard anybody from the Bills say that?
I think that's always been the bane of the Bills for years and years, that, you know, why they got rid of, you know, some players in the past is they wanted high moral standards. And I just don't want to hear it anymore from the Bills. I think it's worth the calculated risk. I'm with it. But you can't have your cake and eat it too, though.
Well, yeah, but I would submit that they haven't said that. I mean, not since Marv Levy left. I think all of these teams in the NFL, everybody would love, you know, high character guys all over the roster. Everybody would like altar boys, choir boys. You just can't do it when you have a 53-man roster. And teams, it's risk assessment. They assess the risk. This guy's had trouble. How much trouble was it? Was it serious trouble? A year ago in the draft, the Bills were criticized for a couple of picks, including Kiko Alonso. I don't think anybody has a problem with that pick now based on the way Kiko played. He had an alcohol-related incident in his playing days at Oregon. Buddy Nix addressed it on the final day of the draft last year when he said, in terms of Kiko and I think other players, he said it's was it underage drinking? Yeah, you know, on the risk of character issues, that's not real serious, I don't think. And it turns out Kiko was not just a really good player, pretty much the defensive rookie of the year, but a pretty good guy and a good guy in the locker room. So all these teams take, you know, they assess the risk. How much trouble is this guy? What really went on with what was reported? Believe me, the Bills know all of what went on in Mike Williams' background. They have a head coach who coached Mike Williams at Syracuse for 1 year, had a run-in with Mike Williams, knows exactly what Mike Williams is all about. He's willing to move on. So I don't think the Bills are much different than most NFL teams, and they don't. I can't recall an incident where anybody, an instance where anybody in a decision-making capacity has here or basically most NFL teams where they blatantly say we're only taking players with high moral character. I mean, it'd be great if it were that way, but it's not. I mean, that's the world in which we live, and I think most NFL teams are realistic about it. And this gets lost, too, and this drives me crazy. These are young guys. These are not finished products. Even Mike Williams is still a pretty young guy, and people change for the better and for the worse. Mike Williams is 26 years old. Is his character fully formed? Is he fully mature? Who knows? How do you know? Kiko Alonso comes to the Bills at age 21, 22. Is his character fully formed? Is he fully matured? Who knows? You're taking a risk with any of these guys. And people change for the better and the worse. And I think these NFL teams in their scramble for talent, in their effort to make the roster better, will take chances and do the best they can, investigating a background of a guy, investigating his character, looking into these reported incidents, and deciding whether they can live with the risk that's involved. Dan in Florida. Hi, Dan. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm really excited about this move. I don't think you're going to find anybody in the sixth round with this kind of talent. And now they can go into the draft and address different needs that they may have.
You're right. I think it opens up the draft even more. I thought some of the other free agent moves they made, Brandon Spikes in particular, opened up the draft for the Bills. Chris Williams getting set to step in there at left guard. And I think this does it even further. Now they are not, you know, necessarily looking for that big wide receiver in the first round. They can it opens up all kinds of avenues for them. Sean in Rochester. Hi, Sean. Welcome. You're on the air.
Good evening, sir. It feels to me like we're seeing a bit more of a direct competition with this between Williams and Stevie Johnson and maybe taking a bit more of a long view on it. Neither of them are costing Buffalo all that much this year, but are set next year to be costing a whole lot more money. They've both got similar stat sheets, similar size, similar production, similar ages, and both coming off of down years. I think whoever does well is going to be staying on the team, and whichever of the two does less well may hit the bricks after all of this. I'm high on Stevie Johnson, but fact is the new regime has only seen him directly for this 1 year, and it was not his best year. So I think that may be the setup here.
Well, you might be right, Sean. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. I would say that they're different receivers to my mind, Stevie and Mike Williams. As I said a moment ago, Mike Williams plays bigger than his size. I think he does. I think he's more of a red zone target, a go up and get the ball type of guy. Stevie is an unconventional route runner who has a knack for getting open and a pretty good guy with the ball in his hands after the catch. So I don't think they're the same type of receiver. I think the Bills don't mind having competition for Stevie or anybody else on the roster. I think they're looking forward to seeing if Mike Williams is ready to play and ready to stay available on a week-to-week basis. Looking forward to seeing what they can get out of him, whether he's competing for the ball with Stevie or TJ Graham or Marquise Goodwin or whoever. Dave in Williamsville. Hi, Dave. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I just think it's nice for some players to have a fresh beginning, a nice start. This can be in any sport. At any time of someone's career, you might have a little bit of history. It's hard to get rid of it. A trade like this can really be nice for a guy like Williams. You know, there's a blank slate, zero history at all. He could just worry about football, hopefully, and he could understand that the opportunity he has ahead of him because he has a blank slate now.
Yeah, I agree. And, who wouldn't benefit from a blank slate no matter where we've been, you know, a chance to start fresh. Mike Williams has had some off-field issues in Tampa. There's no denying that. He comes home. That means something, I think. He comes to a franchise that is willing to take this calculated risk to give him a blank slate. And he comes to a coach who he knows and who knows him. I mean, Doug Marrone, went to the airport Friday and picked him up. That's how much he cares about making this thing work. Alec in Buffalo. Hi, Alec. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, John? Thanks
okay.
for taking my call.
Sure.
So I was thinking about it, and it's like a player like Mike Williams, he has a bad pass, but he has a new start. And if you look at a certain player who happens to be my favorite football player, Marshawn Lynch, we all know firsthand what it can do, a new set of scenery. The guy's a Super Bowl champion. In my opinion, he's probably going to end up being a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, you got to look at it. Guys who are complaining about his background, talent beats out off-the-field issues. We're talking about a sport. We're talking about professional football, you know?
Right. And I mentioned this a moment ago, we're talking about people who change, talking about guys who grow up, talking about guys who get it. Maybe the second chance for Marshawn Lynch, maybe the second chance here for Mike Williams means something to them. You know, they have to love playing in the NFL. They have to love the money, love the lifestyle, and if you're in trouble, if you're in danger of losing that, and somebody throws you a lifeline and says, come here and play, straighten yourself out, come here and play. We'll make sure you're well paid. We'll make sure you play in the NFL. We'll make sure that you know, you have a chance to restart your career. I mean, who wouldn't grab that lifeline? I think that's important in this situation and in Marshawn's. Eric in Lancaster. Hi, Eric. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph, how you doing?
Okay.
All right. Hey, I can't imagine a better deal for the Bills right now. I think they're filling a really glaring need. Watched it this season. Really felt like the big body needed to be there. You know, he played behind Vincent Jackson, who was a bigger body. I think here he'll have a chance to shine. And, you know, to go even further, Tampa Bay, Florida, there's plenty of opportunities for trouble down there. I think Buffalo's a little more grounded community and a home for him. There's nothing but upside, in my opinion, for Mike up here.
Okay, Eric, thanks for your call. You might be right. And, I get the feeling that that's the way most Bills fans are looking at this. You know, the Bills didn't trade up in the draft to grab Mike Williams. They didn't give up a significant early-round draft picks to get Mike Williams. They gave up, reportedly, a sixth-rounder. They have a very manageable salary to pay him this year. I think it's a good calculated risk. He's had trouble in the past. There's no denying that, but I think it's a pretty good risk. He acknowledged today that he has some growing up to do. Mike Williams was here at One Bills Drive today answering questions at a press conference today, but he did say it's a dream come true. You know the story, or maybe you know the story, of Mike Williams in 2009. His last year at Syracuse was Doug Marrone's first year with the Syracuse Orange. Mike Williams did play under Doug Marrone for most of that year, but there were some issues and some bumps there, and at the end of the line, Mike Williams was either quit or was thrown off the team about the second week of November in 2009, 5 years ago. He has talked with Coach Marrone about that. He's talked about that publicly. Mike Williams has since then. And he was asked about that today. Mike Williams says his relationship with Doug Marrone is good now after it did end badly in Syracuse back in 2009.
Syracuse, like Coach Marrone said to me, the past is the past. He said it was his first year coaching. He made mistakes. I made mistakes. Situations wasn't handled how they were supposed to be handled, but the past is the past. So we kind of looking forward to that. Like he said to me the other day, if we was in school, if it was a college, he wouldn't have picked up Mike Williams. But now we don't got school. That's his first pick is to pick up Mike Williams. And I kind of understood where he was going with that. So we kind of left the past as the past. He was before the trade. I actually talked to Marrone first. We talked on the phone and we got rid of our past and said we're moving forward, and now I'm here.
Mike Williams at a news conference this afternoon here at One Bills Drive. Williams just a year removed from a six-year, $40 million contract, but the Bucks traded him to Buffalo just last Friday. Tampa Bay traded him away to the Buffalo Bills, and Mike Williams told the news conference today, coming back to Buffalo is like a dream come true.
John Murphy.
Mike Williams... Well, do we have that? Yes. Coming back to Buffalo is like a dream come true, Mike Williams said. And he's very happy to come back and play with the Buffalo Bills. So we'll see how it works out. Mike Williams coming back to Buffalo, the news conference today. And if you have thoughts on that, we'll take phone calls. 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here's a call from Matt in Toronto. Hello, Matt. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I think it's a mistake to... have a guy like Mike Williams on the team. I think it's a sign of desperation. I don't think this is the type of player you want to have on your team. If he wasn't good enough for Lovie Smith, I don't understand why he should be good enough for Doug Marrone. You know, some coaches can get away with it. A guy like Bill Belichick, because he's had such success, can take these bad apples and turn them around because there's such respect for a guy like Belichick. I don't think the Bills are in that position, and I think this is a mistake. This is not the way they should be going.
Well, some people would argue that when you're where the Bills are, you need to take more chances. You need to push the envelope a little bit. You know, and you're right, Belichick does take chances. Aqib Talib a year ago, Corey Dillon, the running back several years ago, he does take chances and gets away with it. A lot of it, I believe, because of the culture that Belichick and the Patriots have created. I think that we are in the early stages of Doug Marrone trying to create a new culture here for the Buffalo Bills. And along with that is being confident enough in your personnel decisions to bring on a guy who has had problems in the past, but you're willing to move forward with and see if they fit in. And if they don't, I firmly believe that if they don't, they'll let him go at some point if things don't work out, if there are off-the-field issues. But Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think when you're where the Bills are, haven't been in the playoffs in 14 years, I think that you are almost forced to take a little riskier personnel move from time to time. Here's a call from Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
How's it going? You know, we're not hiring choir boys. This is football. These guys were in college. I agree with everything you're saying. I disagree with the last caller. I think it's a great move. We got to do something to take a risk. I watched enough YouTube videos on this guy, and I'm fully convinced that it was an awesome move. And I think now it allows us, what I would like to see them do in the draft, is go after the top offensive linemen if they're available and really solidify that offense. That was what I'd like to see them do.
All right. Thanks, Bob. I agree with you. And I think when they talked early in the off season, I'm going back to the end of January, when they talked to us at the Senior Bowl about getting better around EJ Manuel, I think if you take a step back and look at the total picture of what they've done since the off season, they've done a really good job of building around EJ Manuel so far. And I'm talking about Chris Williams, who I think is another interesting pickup guy, probably going to be plugged in there at left guard. And I'm talking about Mike Williams, acquired in the trade last week. I think they're trying to get better on EJ Manuel. I think that effort will continue at the draft on May 8th. I fully expect that it's going to be an offensive lineman. I could have my mind changed, but I think it's going to be an offensive lineman, and you know, maybe Jake Matthews from Texas A&M if he's there. And that will, I think, complete the offseason of building around EJ with some pretty important pieces. Talking about Mike Williams today, we're going to hear from him at the bottom of the hour. Just a couple of other notes here at One Bills Drive. It was a memorable weekend, a memorable Saturday, when the Buffalo Bills held their celebration in remembrance of the life and legacy of team owner Ralph Wilson, who passed away 2 weeks ago tomorrow. The Bills held a public celebration, a walk-around display of artifacts from Ralph Wilson's career, upwards of a couple of thousand Bills fans filing through the Ralph Wilson or the Bills Fieldhouse to have a look at that. Earlier in the day, there was a private ceremony for Bills alumni and some Bills staffers, and some great speeches from that earlier celebration, including Bills president and CEO Russ Brandon, who talked about Ralph Wilson.
His deep loyalty and appreciation for his adopted hometown of Buffalo, in his numerous acts of giving, always done without notoriety. He understood the Bills are the fabric of Western New York, and it was often stated his relentless passion was only matched by our fans. Ralph Wilson and Buffalo were a perfect marriage.
Russ Brandon, the Bills president and CEO, at the celebration in remembrance of Ralph Wilson. Some former Bills players spoke Saturday morning as well, including Ed Rutkowski, who played on the 64 and 65 AFL championship teams for the Buffalo Bills. He talked about the relationship that he and his teammates had with Ralph Wilson.
We just weren't names to him. We weren't even a team. We were a family. And he was our patriarch. He was our father figure. And we looked up to him and we respected him. And I guess I could tell you all the dirty little secret that we've held all these years, that we loved Ralph so much, loved playing with the Bills so much, that we would have paid him to play with the Buffalo Bills, not have him pay us.
Ed Rutkowski speaking of Ralph Wilson. Another great speaker, there were several on Saturday morning. Bruce Smith, the Hall of Fame defensive end who went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame on the same day in 2009 that Ralph Wilson went into the Hall of Fame. Bruce Smith talked about the effect that Ralph Wilson had on his life and his career.
Mr. Wilson had a profound impact on my life and certainly enriched not only my life, but the lives of others. I think the fact that Mr. Wilson lived such a rich life, a life of 95 years, and we were blessed to share some of those precious memories and moments with him, is certainly a blessing.
Bruce Smith talking Saturday morning, and again, a memorable day. Capping off a memorable couple of weeks since the passing of Ralph Wilson. I hope you had a chance to come out here Saturday to have a look at that. Bill scouts busy today as pro days continue. Reports of two, maybe even three scouts on hand in Towson, Maryland today to look at the record-setting running back Terrence West from Towson, Maryland. The pro day was held today in Maryland in the Baltimore area. Terrence West is an interesting prospect. Measured in at 5'9" tall, 262 pounds, That's about 40 pounds more than he weighed in at the combine. He scored 41 touchdowns in his final season. He's described as a bowling ball. And Terrence West, obviously, with the Bills taking a look at his pro day today, merits a little bit more look. He is projected to be a third or fourth rounder, but the Bills scouts turned down in force for Terrence West's pro day today, reportedly. Houston Texans are going to host former Central Florida quarterback Blake Bortles for a pre-draft visit April 15th and 16th. And then Johnny Manziel will be in a week later for Houston, April 21st and 22nd. Texans coach Bill O'Brien and general manager Rick Smith went to both quarterbacks' pro days. Cal McNair, the Texans' vice chairman and chief operating officer, also attended Manziel's pro day. Houston has veteran Ryan Fitzpatrick and T.J. Yates, Case Keenum on the quarterback roster so far. It appears they are headed towards choosing a quarterback. Running back Chris Johnson expects to pick his team by the middle of this week, according to Pro Football Talk. He was released by the Tennessee Titans on Friday after six seasons there. 24th overall pick in the 2008 draft. He is on the transaction wire today, so now each team can formally reach out to him. The Jets believed to be the early front runner to land Chris Johnson, according to Ian Rappaport of NFL.com. But there also was a report late last week that the Bills, along with the Dolphins and Falcons, reported to have interest in Chris Johnson. We'll see if that works out. Josh Freeman, former Tampa Bay quarterback, worked out with the Chicago Bears today. It's believed to be the first free agent visit for Josh Freeman. Last year, he spent half of his season at Tampa Bay and half with the Minnesota Vikings. Jay Cutler is going to be the Bears starter, but they may be looking for a backup for Jay Cutler, and Josh Freeman worked out for the Bears today. And the NFL, of course, a full slate of games on Thursday nights again this year. More than half of those games are going to be on CBS, and the report today is the Thursday night games in the first half of the season are going to be some of the marquee games on Thursday night. The NFL plans to give CBS, its broadcast partner, a great package of games to start the season. The CBS games will be much stronger than ESPN's Monday Night Football package and much stronger than the Thursday night games in the second half of last season. So they're making Thursday nights a priority, putting some strong games on the network on CBS. First half of the season, Thursday Night Football will be on CBS. Second half of the season, they'll be back on the NFL Network. You know that by now. All right, we're going to take a break and then talk about the man of the day here at One Bills Drive, and that is wide receiver Mike Williams. Acquired in the trade on Friday, passed his physical, met the media today, signed up, ready to go. We'll hear what Mike Williams has to say about his time in Tampa Bay, his time in Syracuse, and what lies ahead for him with the Buffalo Bills. He's up next. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back. The trade was announced Friday, and Mike Williams was available today. The Buffalo Bills' new wide receiver acquired in a trade with Tampa Bay Buccaneers last Friday. Mike Williams in studio with us. Were you surprised by the trade last week, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I actually was. It was like a dream come true to come back home, too. So I was really surprised about the trade, but now I'm back home. It feels great.
If you had to pick where you might want to play in the NFL, would this be your number one choice?
Oh, easily, by far. This is like where I wanted. This is where I wanted to get drafted to. No disrespect to Tampa. It was a great time there, and I had fun. But me being from Buffalo and watching Andre Reed, Jerry Rice, and watching them guys go out and play, it's just something I wanted to do.
You grew up a Bills fan, you told us earlier, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Always been a Bills fan. I kind of never knew no other team but the Bills. So to come back home and play with these guys is outstanding.
Mike, we mentioned, and you talk about being drafted, it was 2010. I think we were on your front porch doing an interview with you when I was working at Channel 4. That was a great day. You could tell there was a genuine joy among your friends and family that day when you were chosen in the fourth round.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We were shocked. It was like being drafted is always great. So when you go out there and be drafted and come from where I come from, it's always exciting.
And you stepped right in that first year, 65 catches, 11 touchdowns. Obviously, your NFL career got off to a great start down there in Tampa.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I always, like I tell people, I'm going to play with a chip on my shoulder until I retire. I think 11 guys got taken over me, and I'll never forget that. And I'm going to always try to go out there and prove that I was supposed to have been that guy picked.
Do you know who some of those 11 are? Have they had good careers that compare to yours?
Two of them. That's it.
Just two of the 11.
Yeah, two of the 11.
when you were at Tampa, and I remember saying this to you on the front porch over there in 2010, my friend Alex Van Pelt was there already as the quarterback's coach, and you had kind of a good working relationship with Alex, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Alex used to say he used to walk into the meeting rooms and be like, it's so easy, just get Mike the ball. he was my guy, man. I enjoy working with him, but he's a good coach, too. It's sad that I heard he was supposed to be back here, too.
Maybe someday he will. You worked with Josh Freeman. Tell me about him, a young quarterback. You two of you almost grew up together those first few years.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like you said, we grew up together. We went through the struggle together. We had success together. I think he just ended up in a bad situation where he kept switching on and off and new coaches and things like that. But he's a great quarterback.
We're with Mike Williams, the Bills' new wide receiver, acquired in a trade last Friday. And, of course, we've watched you play up here and watched the Bucs play over the years. Mike, it always struck me, and I'm looking at your number, 6'1", 212. You seem to play bigger than that. Are those accurate numbers, first of all? Are you just 6 foot 1 inch tall?
No, 6'2", 222.
All right. But you play bigger than that. Like, you have kind of a big catching radius, it seems.
Oh, yeah. It was always I don't know if you know what a Nepton is.
No.
It's like a shark, like, in a whale together. And he jumps and he attacks his prey. So it was like when I see the ball in the air, that's what I kind of think of myself as being a Neptune. So I jump and attack it. Like, no matter what, I always say it's mine. So I always play if the ball in the air is mine.
Is that a real animal or is that like a
– It really is.
I got to look that up. I never heard of that.
Yeah, it's like he really attacks. He jumps out the water and attacks his prey.
That's a big part of being a receiver, isn't it? The ball is up, and sometimes, you know, it's not going to be perfectly leaning into your hands. You got to fight for the ball. You got to go get it, basically.
Oh, yeah. Like my mom always tells me, there's no perfect pass. So she always say, go up and get it. Like, don't be trying to run under it. Go up and get it. And that's just how I learned how to play. Sometimes you might get a perfect pass and dimed on you, but you still got to make the catch, so.
Hey, Mike, here in Buffalo, not only are you coming home, but you're reunited with a coach you had at Syracuse, Doug Marrone. His first year there was your last year there. So tell me about the relationship you had and the time you had there with Doug Marrone.
Oh, yeah, on the field, our games, when we played on the field, we had a lot of success. Actually, some of my best success at Syracuse, a couple 200-yard games. So playing with him was great. It was just sometimes you had disagreements, and like Coach Marrone said, it was his first year, and he kind of made some mistakes and made some choices that wasn't right, and I told him the same thing with me. Like, it was me being back at Syracuse after coming back after the grades thing, and for my first year coming back to Syracuse, and I made some decisions, and some decisions that I'll take back, but we led to here, so I kind of want to keep them decisions how we had them.
Yeah, and after you found success at Tampa, there was a Syracuse writer who wrote a story about you. There's a great quote from you in there about you and your relationship with Doug Marrone. It says, if I saw him on the street, I'd give him a big hug. I have no hard feelings. And that was 4 years ago you had those no hard feelings for Doug Marrone.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So with that quote, you should know, it's never been really no hard feelings. It was just a disagreement, and which led us both here.
What was it like when – did you know that he was going to pick you up at the airport last Friday night?
Oh, yeah. Before the trade even went down, I talked to Coach Marrone. We talked about the pass, and we were going to lead a pass at the pass, and he let me know he was going to pick me up from the airport, too.
What did they expect from you here, first of all, on the field? What do you think Coach Marrone and the coaching staff want you to do on this roster?
Well, score touchdowns. That's kind of what I've been known for me being in high school, college. Just like, I might have 7 catches, but I might have three catches, and 2 of them might be touchdowns. So that's what they really expect in here, and that's what I'm willing to bring here.
You had some off-the-field issues. Did they talk to you about that either before the trade or since then?
Oh, yeah, before the trade. They found out all the true stories and things like that. They found out what was the real stories and what was I going through for real and what story was what. But with those stories being said, they still took me.
You mentioned at a press conference earlier today how one of your faults might have been being too generous, having too big a heart. Can you talk about that, what you're thinking of there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sometimes you get a cold-hearted guy, and he go out there, and he's just cold-hearted, and he's just bad, and he just – out there doing stuff on purpose and things like that. But I kind of always tell people, like, it's kind of hard, too, when you got a big heart and giving back to people, because now I feel like I've got to help everybody. Now I want to help his mistakes and that mistakes. And sometimes it kind of get me in bad positions, and I try to work my way out of those. But I think it's these 4 years in the league made me learn that you got to learn to say no and learn to back off of certain things.
How will playing at home close to friends and family help you, you know, straighten out, not get in trouble in the future?
I guess I'm back at home. I mean, I kind of look at it as playing at Riverside and playing at Syracuse. It's like all my home, they all here. There's no more flights and things like that. There's no more, can you come down here and stay with me? You can stay in your own house now. It's like I said, playing back at Riverside.
I've been told you have a good relationship with another guy who's come home this year, Corey Graham, to play for the Bills. Do you have a relationship with Corey?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Growing up with Corey, playing against him basketball.
He's a little older than you, wasn't he?
Yeah, I still got the wins in basketball versus him. I told him he played for the Ravens. I told him he'd always be on my highlight tape. So, but it's kind of great coming back home playing with him, and both of us being from Buffalo and coming to play for the Bills. I know this was his home. This was his dream, and my dream too. So it's kind of like we both living the dream together.
Mike, how are you physically? I know you just got hurt with an incident a couple of weeks ago. How are you now, and what's the rest of your off season look like before you come back here in a couple of weeks?
I'm gonna come back here in a couple of weeks and be right on schedule with the team. I'm doing everything they doing every workout, not missing no time for no injuries or nothing like that. So it's straight. Like my mom called me Wolverine, so I kind of heal real fast. So I'll be ready to be right on the field when these guys get here, too.
It's funny how things work out, isn't it? Did you ever imagine you'd be playing for the Buffalo Bills?
I kind of, like I said, I dreamed it all the time. Me being and playing for the Bills, I always dreamed of me going to UB. But I went to Syracuse, so I guess it's close to home. So, but it's a dream come true.
Mike, thanks. Appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thanks for having me.
Mike Williams, Bills wide receiver, our guest in studio. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Just a couple minutes left here on the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're cutting out an hour early for the NCAA Championship basketball game. UConn coming up against Kentucky. The pregame show at 8 o'clock on our flagship here in Buffalo, so stick around for that. We're back with a podcast tomorrow and then a full two-hour show coming up on Wednesday. Thanks to Mike Williams. I like a lot of what he said. I can't figure out what he was talking about when he mentioned the, what do you call it, the Nepton, the shark whale. Well, all of us scrambled.
John,
did you find it, Jay?
Never heard of the Nepton before?
No. Have you, Jay?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. I went looking for it, as everybody did on the internet, and I'm like, I never heard of that.
But
he says
it's
for real.
Pretty cool.
He sounded pretty convinced, too. I like the way he described how he plays, though. You know, goes and gets the ball. A couple of tweets. We've been talking about Mike Williams and, you know, what you think of the deal. Joey tweeted in, Bills took little to no risk at all. How many six-round picks make the team anyway? Six-round pick is no risk, according to the Twitter account of Sun. Charlie Oswald tweets in, most six-round picks don't work out. We just got a wide receiver who's proved he can play in this league. Good move. Real Mike Moore tweets in, did Williams actually play with Marone? I thought he quit or was kicked off Marone's first year. He was, but he did play, I mean, part of that season. I want to say November 9th, November 17th is when, so I don't have the numbers in front of me. He probably played seven or eight games under head coach Doug Marone, and Marone started the year before, the December before. So he had Mike Williams around for a considerable amount of time. He did play for him. An interesting tweet from George Davidson. Character goes two ways. Sharper was known as a great guy. You never really know a person. Will he go 100% for us? Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make. All these teams take risks on these guys. You know, they're trying to figure out, is this guy, he's had problems? What's he going to be like for us? They don't know. Nobody knows. They don't come with guarantees. So I think it's a calculated risk. I like it, and I like what Mike Williams potentially could bring this Buffalo Bills offense if he's the kind of player that he's been early on in his NFL career. Couple of notes. You should check out BuffaloBills.com these days because we are up and running with our our focus on the draft already. The countdown to the draft is underway. Today, Jake Matthews is up, and tomorrow it'll be Odell Beckham, the wide receiver. Every day, Chris Brown and I will alternate with previews of some of the draft prospects from now until May 7th, the day before the draft. So go to BuffaloBills.com to check out our countdown to the draft. Presented by Time Warner Cable. It is up right now at BuffaloBills.com, along with Chris's one-on-one interview with the new Bills wide receiver, Mike Williams. Well, as we said, we're cutting out 1 hour early because of the NCAA tournament basketball game. We've got a podcast tomorrow, so make sure you tune into that. I want to thank our presenting sponsor tonight, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer is T.J. Luckman, our producer, Jay Harris, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Podcast tomorrow night. We'll see you then. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.